Parshas Matos, Beis Tfila, Tov Shin Ein Dalet. Masih, sorry. That was a good comment. So, in this week's parasha, we have our Ratzeach, who killed and he goes to the Ir Mikrat. He has to go to Golos. Rabbeinu Bechaya points out, what's the difference between the Ratzeach, the Shoigeg, the killer who killed by mistake, versus the killer who killed on purpose, the Mezid? What's the difference? They both raise their gun and pull the trigger. One thought it's probably an animal I'm hitting, and the other one knows it's a person. What's the difference? They both did the same physical act. They both shot their arrow. What makes the difference? The difference is what? The intention. They both did the same physical, they both pulled the trigger, they both shot the arrow. Just the intention makes the difference. The leave. One intended to kill a person, one didn't intend to kill a person. So you see, the lave is the most important part of the person, and the lave, the intention, is the critical part for our, is so important for our averas and for our mitzvahs. An avera with lave, with intention, is a mezid. An avera without the lave is a sheikeg. And likewise with our mitzvahs. A mitzvah done without intention is not a mitzvah. But a mitzvah done with intention, that makes the mitzvah. And therefore how important it is when we do our mitzvahs, just think. Don't just be a robot. And you think that will make the mitzvah into a mitzvah, says Rabbeinu Bechaya. It depends on the machlekes, whether mitzvah tzrichas kavana, ein tzrichas kavana. Fine. The parasha says in Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. It's referring to the Rotzeach, the Shoigeg, who has to go to exile. Don't take a ransom. You cannot be exchanged with money. And says the pasuk, Veloisach nifu esa oretz. Don't flatter. And then the next passage says, don't defile the land. These are the two psukim. So in fact, the Yireim is based on the Sifri. The Sifri on the spot says, Lo yistachnifu, this is an azora for chaneifim. What's a chaneif? A flatterer. So that's how the Yireim paskens. Other Moina mitzvahs also count chanufa as an issa deraisa. So I want to ask you a question. What is flattery? Okay, you have a swimming pool. And I very much would like to be invited to your swimming pool. So I start to flatter you and I praise you and say, you're such a wonderful person, I like you so much. V'chule, v'chule, till I get invited. What did I just do? What is that? What is that? What did I do an avera? No? Is that not flattery? Is that loy sachnifu? Is that alright? Do you have a swimming pool? Can I can I apply? Flattery! What's flattery? You know what flattery is, right? You know, you blow things up. The guy came to shul last week. I said, wow, you're amazing! You come to shul! Flattery. So did I do an Issa Deraisa? This is the source for flattery. Mikan azola chanefim. So it was a over and isa deraisa.
You see
some of the Moina mitzvahs count this as a mitzvah. They count. See, the Re'im says this is Azara for the Chanefim. The Sifri and the Re'im Paskins this. He says it's two lavim. Right? It's a double. It's Loi Sachnifu and then it's Loi Sitames Aretz. The double one. Chanufa gets a double, two Aver, two lavim. What does it mean? No, so he's doing. He means the people of the land. That's how. That's the rain's going to know. The people of the land.
How does blood flow?
Yeah.
When the blood spills, it gets flooded.
Okay, I have to know exactly. Maybe it's just like a drash, but still. Still, they're learning this as a deraisa. No, it's not the going. So, basically, I haven't got an answer. Was I open? Is the deraisa? If I flatter you because I want to get access to your facilities, I want to use a swimming pool, I want to borrow your car, I want you to invite me to your holiday house. So, am I open? Is achnifu? I went on a little voyage to examine what is Lois Tachnifu, and I'm not convinced there's anything wrong almost with flattering people to get material benefits.
Not even bad
meter? Very bad meters. It's very bad. So the Maisa, if we look in the Rishonim who speak this out, they're all discussing one thing. It's flattering a Rasha. Someone who's doing bad. And I flatter him, I say, you're great. It's wonderful what you did. And what you do, that is the Hanifa. Because I'm strengthening the bad. The bad deed and the bad people. Rabbeinu Yoina in Shari Tshuva says there's 9 types of chanufa, chanifim. All of them are talking about Rishoyim. Flattering them, being friendly with them, praising them, different levels. They're all talking about Rishoyim, with one exception. But the one exception he has to that, number 5, is if I'm a well-respected person and people trust me and I have a relative which I want to help me get a position, and I say, no, we're looking for a rav. My relative is a very good candidate. And people, because of my words, will appoint him as the rav, or they'll trust him, and really he's not roy. That's called flattery, because that's going to cause him to give wrong psakim. People rely on his psak, and he's not really holding at that level to give a psak. And that's the issue of Hanifa. Or people will deposit money by him, and he'll steal the money from them. But, because... What? Could be as well. That's the one, the only non-Russia Hanifa involved. But just to flatter you because I want you to favor me, that's not part of the list in any way. Okay. So how far do I have to go? What happens if the person, so basically the Chofetz Chaim brings down the Chofetz Chaim in the Hakdama to the Chofetz Chaim in the Lavim. He's talking about a person, a very powerful person, and the person saying Lashon Hara. and you know it's Lashon Hara. And so you're going to say, yeah, you're right, because you want to find favor in his eyes. But he's maybe the governor of the town, and you want to have a kesher with him, and he says some juicy Lashon Hara, and instead of you saying it's Osa, you say yes, because you want to find favor in his eyes. That's Chanufah. Now how far do we have to go? So we have a story, we have a Mishnah in Soto. The Mishnah says that on the 8th year we have the Hakel, where everyone gets together and the king has to read from the Sefer Torah. So Agrippa Samelech, so he was a descendant of Hordus, he was really a slave, his father was a slave. So he was reading the Torah and he came to the pasuk of Bekerev Achecha Tasim Alecha Melech. Lo Yituchal Oseis Olecha Ish Nochri. So he started to cry. Agrippa was reading the Torah as the king and he started to cry. Omuloy Al Tira Agrippas Acheinu Ata Acheinu Ata. You are brothers, you are brothers. Says the Gemara, that time Am Yisrael deserved to be wiped out. This was the Chanufa. He was the king, and they would say, yeah, you're right, you're our brother, don't worry about it. That was Chanufa. Again, the choynef to an Issa, to an Avera. He was doing an Avera. He had no right to be the king. Says the Shai Tshuva, from here we learn that even b'makom sakana, the king, you know what they're gonna tell him, you're wrong, you don't deserve to be king. Dangerous. Even b'makom sakana, you're not allowed to flatter. And that's how the Chofetz Chaim in Paskens, if you have a powerful person saying Lashon Hara, you cannot agree, even if it's b'makom sakana. I think you're saying a very good svara. I think you're saying very good. But that's how the Shari Tshuva pulls out that a person, even Mokum Sakona, you're not out of flatter. But in Toisvas, in Soita Mem Aleph, he says Mokum Sakona, you can flatter. What is Raya? There's a story in the Dorim Chof Beis where Ula was traveling to Eretz Yisrael, and two people were traveling with him. And one guy slaughtered his friends. Kamchat shachte lechavrei. The two travelers with Ula, and he slit his friend's throat. So he asked Ula, the murderer with the knife with the blood on it, did I do good? Said Ula, yes, and rip his and parley beishchita, open up even more. So he told him, very good. Came to Yisrael, and Ula asked Rabbi Yochanan, he was very bothered, Dilma chas v'sholem achziki yad oivra avera, would I support him? Says Rabbi Yochanan, es nafshecha itzalta, you saved your life. You're going to tell him he did wrong? You're kidding? He says, Jesus, and here we learn that even more with sakana, there is a het of Chanufah. So we have a big machlekes whether the het of Chanufah, the Issa, applies to Mokim Sakana or not. Okay. When is it a mitzvah to be flatter? So this I found in Orcha Tzadikim. Sometimes it's a mitzvah to flatter. It says, V'yachniv odom li'ishtoi. A person is a mitzvah, you should flatter your wife. Mishum shalom bayis. And who else? Who else are you allowed to flatter? Bal chovo. If you owe money to someone, and the date's up, you're allowed to flatter him. Shalom yuchatzenu. That's permitted. The rabbi, what, sorry? Rabbi, Shilamdenu Torah. Umitzvah gdeilah l'hachnif el tamido v'l'chaveirov. The Rebbe who tells the bracha in the Sheh, who's been the most weakest bracha in the Sheh, says, you're great. You learn so well. And this thing hasn't been around for the last 3 weeks. Oh, you learn so well. It's a mitzvah. And also, you have a friend, and if you're going to, you need to rebuke him, and if you're going to rebuke him and tell him he's not going to listen, it's a mitzvah to flatter him. So accept your toichacha. He brings down a story from the Sefer Hasidim. There was a person who had a daughter, and she needed the shidduch. And there were two applicants wanted to marry her. So what did the father do? The father approached his friend and says, please make a meriva with me. Please, let's stage an argument, a fight. So the father has this fight with his friend, and he asked these two gentlemen, the two prospective chasanim, to be the judges. And so one of these bokrim, whatever the father said, yeah, you're right. He accepted the father's stand. And the other guy said, no, you're wrong. I'm going to pass in against you. And the father said, I won't use my chosn, because he was machnif to me. The other judge, who was always accepting what I'm saying, he was machnif. That's not the guy I want. We'll just summarize. It says, the person who wants to keep away from chanifus, there's two things he should be careful of. He shouldn't want covert, because you want covert, then you're going to be machnif to people, so the people give you covert. And you shouldn't want to benefit from people's things, because that will trigger the chanifa. Okay, so this we learn from this week's parasha. Loisachnifu, where some rishonim learn. It's a law of the rice of chanifa. We learned that according to most rishonim, chanifa is for dvar avera. If a person is doing avera and you flatter him because you want to find favor in his eyes, that's the classical case of chanifa. To flatter a rich person because you want benefits is not chanifa. But I forgot to say, in the Orcha Tzadikim, he's the only one I found who brings chanifa as part of Gnevas Das. There's an issa of Gnevas Das to fool people. What does that mean, fooling people? If I send you a present, I know you're not going to you're not going to use that present. You're not going to accept that present. I know that you're meaty, and I invite you to, would you like a milky pizza? I know you're not going to eat it. I know you're on a diet. I invite you out for a meal in a restaurant. These are called Gnevas Das. So Gnevas Das is also even to a goy. And so, sorry? It's, I don't think it's minimum mitzvahs, but it's a form of gezel. It's Gnevas Das, because you're going to think that you owe me back. So he calls that includes in Hanifa. In this week's parasha, we learn about Bnei Tzlafchot, and Bnei Tzlafchot, they get Yerusha, they get their father's Yerusha, and their shevet comes to complain that they're going to take our nachalo from our tribe, and they're going to marry out, and after they die, either the husband or their son will inherit them, and the husband and son are from a different shevet. This has been accepted, and Hashem tells them at the end of this is parasha that in paragraph of Vav, pasuk Vav, Zeh Dovor Asher Tziva Hashem Lebnei Tzlafchot Leimor, that V'toy Beinim Tzielon Anoshim, but Achim Mishpachas Matei Aviim Tzielon Anoshim. You can marry whoever you want, but you have to marry within the shevet. The Mishnah says, in the end of Tainis, Lo yoyomim toivim li Yisrael, kechamisha so ba'av, v'yoyim ha-kippurim. no, very happily, yeah, special days, and Bnei Yisrael would go out and find the match. Ask the Gemara, we understand why Yom Kippur is such a special day, because Yom Shenitnu by Luchos Achronos, and Yom Shelosticha Mechila, wonderful day. But Tu B'Av, what day is that? What is special about Tu B'Av? The Gemara has various reasons. One reason given, it's the day that Binyamin were allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. Because after the story of Pelegesh Bagiva, Am Yisrael took a shvua that they will not marry off their daughters to Shevet Binyamin. It was only for one generation. When that shvua was undone, it was finished, it was in Tu B'Av. And such a special, big simcha, that's why it's a special day. That's one reason given by the Gemara. But the first reason given by the Gemara is because it's the day that Bnei Slavchot are Mutarei Slavai B'Kahal. Says the Gemara, Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lavai Zeh B'Zeh. Because since it says Zeh Adovor, so it's only limited to Bnei Slavchot. But next generation are allowed to marry, even Bnei who inherit their fathers, their orphans, they can marry into other Shvatim. So this is a special day. Yom Shehutru Shvatim Rabbi Zeh B'Zeh. Therefore, Tu B'Av is such a special day, like Yom HaKippurim. And we ask a question. What chat? Ha'nicha, in the case of Binyamin, there was a machlekas, a rift in Am Yisrael. The purpose was to cut them off after Pelegesh Bagiva. They made a shvua, you cannot marry off your daughter to Shevet Binyamin. It's very sad, very tragic situation. Once it gets undone, it's a tremendous simcha, we're all back together. But by Bnei Slavchot, you have nothing against them. It's not a machlekas. The fact that they were restricted in marrying out wasn't because there's something wrong with them, something negative. It's just a technical reason that we have to ensure that the nachra, especially at the beginning, will be with the shevet. That was the point. Nothing personal. So, what's the big simcha? It's Yomim Tovim Yisrael. What's the big simcha when it gets undone? So, by the Bali Amusar, by them, they turn a kasha into a teretz. The question is the teretz. You're asking, what's the big deal? That's the teretz. It is a big deal. We can see from this opinion how important it is Achdus in Am Yisrael. It's true. We have nothing against Bnei Slavchot. There's nothing. We have nothing personal against them. But the fact they were restricted in who they could marry into is lacking in the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. The Kasha is a teretz. Yes, indeed. Indeed. The fact that Bnei Yisrael are restricted in any way is lacking in our simcha. And when that gets undone, when they have the opportunity to marry wherever they want, it's lo yomim tovim Yisrael ke Tu B'Av. So this takes us into our inyan of the yoma. We're holding in the 3 weeks. We're about to enter Chodesh Av. And we know the Gemara in Yuma tells us what caused the Churban HaBayis. The Gemara says in Yuma Daf Tes Amud Beis, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Gimel Averus, Gilui Arayos, Shvichus Domim, and Avodah Zara. But the second Beis HaMikdash, that they were learning Torah and the Oisim Megillus Brinus Chasadim, why was it destroyed? Answers the Gemara, because of Sina Aschinom. Delametcha, Sheshkula Sina Aschinom, Kegira Arayus, Shvichus Domim, and Avodah Zara. The same power that had the power to destroy the first base of Mikdash was the same power that destroyed the second base of Mikdash. It is of the same weight. And therefore, Shtinas Chinam is equal to Gid HaRayis, Shvichus Domim, and Avodah Zarah. The Chofetz Chaim has a sefer called Ahavat Yisrael. Ahavat Yisrael is a sefer written by the Chofetz Chaim, and he points out that if Shtinas Chinam can destroy a Beis HaMikdash, an existing Beis HaMikdash, how much more so can Shtinas Chinam prevent the building of the Beis HaMikdash? And the marshal for that would be, as Ramban says, you need to cure, to daven for a sick person to be cured, needs a much greater korach hatfilah than to daven for a healthy person to not turn sick. The schus you need to change a sick person to be healthy is a much greater, you need much greater strength schus than to pray for a healthy person to stay healthy. So therefore, if we see that Shtinas Chinam had the power to break an existing Beis HaMikdash, to destroy it, which shows how intense it is, for sure Shtinas Chinam is powerful enough just to prevent the situation from changing, from the Beis HaMikdash to get rebuilt. Rabbi, I want to ask you a question. If we find there's some bitter machlekas happening, two neighbors have a big fight in the shul, this member doesn't speak to that member, maybe different groups, different communities are having great fight, is this going to stop the Beis HaMikdash from being rebuilt? What do you say? There's huge sin happening. Is this going to start the Beis HaMikdash? And I have the audacity, is that right word? Audacity? I want to suggest to the Tzibur HaChashuv that maybe lav dafka. Maybe that will not prevent the Beis HaMikdash from happening. Now let me explain my words. I want to give two examples. One is from last week's parasha. Last week's parasha, we meet the Nikmas Hashem b'Midyan. Midyan is being singled out. Got to go and destroy them, wipe them out. The question is, what happened to Moav? Why are Moav off the hook? It was Bnei Moav. Balak Melech Moav. Why they left out of the Nakama? Just Midian. What happened to Moav? Rashi raises the point. And Rashi over there in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Beis, says Rashi, Shamoyavim nichnesu ladova machmas yira. Moav were afraid. They were indeed afraid that the Amisor are going to shoil them. They're going to steal from them. Like a conqueror, they'll take their booty. They were afraid. A person's afraid. No, so he tries to protect himself. So, it's not Beseda. They sent the girls to make a sin. But you know what? It's understandable. They were afraid. They're trying to protect themselves. But Midyan, Ava Midyanim, Nisabru Al-Ruv Lo'ilohem. But Midyan, why are you getting involved? What's it going to do with you? That's a chutzpah you get involved. And therefore, Nikmas Hashem b'Midyan, wipe them out. Bring things home. If we have battles with Palestinians, there's a certain logic. They feel they were here first, they feel taken over. That's understandable. But why is Iran getting involved? Why is Iran supporting them? What's it going to do with them? Why did the Hezbollah fight us? What's it going to do? It's Riv Lo Elohim. They should be wiped out. A second mashal. The Gemara says in Psachim Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, there are certain people she'ein hadas sevlasam. We cannot tolerate such people, and they do such evil. Even if they will ask mechila, we cannot forgive them. Who are these people? Dal ga'e. What dal is? A nothing. In Yiddish they say gornished. Gornished means very nished. He's very not. He's a nothing. You have a guy who's a nothing. He's a nothing. He's not clever. He's not handsome. He's a gornished. But he feels top of the world. He looks down at people. He's ga'e. En adas sovran. Can't tolerate such people. What does that mean? If you have a person, he's clever, he's handsome, he runs a multi-millionaire company, runs to him, he flies private jets, and he looks down at people. He just won the NBA. Okay, he's the top of everything, and he looks down at people. Is it right? Is that permitted? No. Torah vas Hashem kol gvar lev. It's not permitted. But does it make sense? Yes. He has a real nisayon. He's on top of everyone. So it's very understandable. He has a real nisayon to not be bal gaiva. It's emes. So if he doesn't oimed ban nisayon, b'seder. It's wrong, but it makes sense. But a dal ga'e is someone who's you're dal. Are you mad? Don't you understand who you are? Why are you ga'e? You're crazy. That is something. We cannot stand such people. Next example the Gemara brings. We have Oshir Metachesh. A rich man who steals. So what does that mean? You have a poor man. He passes by the bakery. He smells rogalach. He hasn't had rogalach for 5 years. He can't afford it. He goes into the bakery. Yaleh bakery has 2 doors. Go in one door, walks out the other door with his bag of rogalach. The boy says, did he steal? Did he steal? Yes. Was he over the lava loy signov? Yes. But Chazal talk about an Oshir Mekachesh. What's an Oshir Mekachesh? He is a multimillionaire, and he goes into Yale and steals a kilo of rogalach. In a tatsuran, why? You owe millions. You could buy out the whole city. With one check, you could buy out the whole city. You steal. Why are you stealing? So, what does that mean? They're both wrong. But one is justified. The only has a real temptation. He has a real nisoyon. It's not beseder. He was nechshal. He didn't do the right thing. He felt his yetzahara. It's real. It's understandable. But the oshir, you steal rogalach. That's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. And a third example, the Gemara brings. A zokein noyef, an old man who's noyef. So what does that mean? Let's take Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik is the symbol of a person who has an nisayon. He was with Eishes Potiphar. Every day she was driving him crazy. Every day she was running after him. And that day he came home. According to Chazal, some Chazal say Malachi came to be with her. And it was such a tremendous nisayon. It's only because he saw Yaakov Avinu that helped him hold back. Now let's imagine, Chas v'Shalom, okay, that Yosef didn't hold back, and he He fell with her. What would you say about Yosef? Would you call him a Zakeh Noyev? Would you say, no, because he had a real Nisayon. He had an Emes Dikin Nisayon. So tremendous, he needed Yaakov Avinu to help him out. So even if he would fall, it's wrong. But it's reason, it makes sense. He had the real Nisayon. But a Zakeh Noyev, why it's not natural for Zaki to be involved with this. Right? The Gemara says, Batzah Shoyim Bayis. All the people don't have it. So if you're involved with Arias, that means you're bringing on yourself. That doesn't make sense. So let's go back to work. Bring it home. I asked the question. When people are involved in big machlekas and neighbors are arguing, people in the shul communities, is this going to prevent the Binyan Beis Hamikdash? And I suggest that sometimes it's lav dafka, maybe not. What do I mean? If you speak to the neighbors, why do you hate the neighbor? He'll speak for half an hour, non-stop. You know what he did to me? He made an extension, he blocked out my air. He's taken my parking space. He spreads slander about me in the whole town. And you know, you'll invest that, you'll find it. These things are true. You speak to the other side, he'll tell you also what the first side did to him. So they're involved in machlokes. They hate each other. I ask you, is it permitted? Definitely not. It's awesome. There's Sisna, there's Nekima, Natira, all sorts of things are happening. Are they justified? 100% not. They're awesome. But I ask you, is it Sina Chinam? It's not Chinam. The guy has real things that were done to him. You can't call this Chinam. He's not a Zakeh Noyev. He's not an Asher Mekachesh. This real thing, even if Aaron Cohen would come, he'd have a hard time to work this out. There's been real wrong things done wrong to both sides. Both sides have really hurt each other. This is not Sinas Chinam. So what I'm trying to say is, Sinas Chinam is when it's unjustified. A person hates Hasidim. Mazeh, you hate all Hasidim. That's ridiculous. Or other groups. It's not based on anything. Oh, you had one bad incident on the plane, and therefore you hate the whole group. That's Sinas Chinam. That's Sinas Chinam. But if you're really hurt by the other party, it's wrong, but it's not Sinas Chinam. And I would say even the mites of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, that story, they hated each other. It doesn't say how strong was the hatred. It doesn't say how strong, but you know what? The guy, he came to your meal. Okay, he came. He's willing to pay for the whole meal. He said, please, I'll pay for the whole meal. Just let me stay, I'm so embarrassed. That's not justified. To be so cruel on him, that's not justified. That's Sinas Chinam. If you can't speak to your neighbor, it makes sense. I'm so hurt. But in that situation, that's Sinas Chinam. And his response is also Sinas Chinam. He was marching the whole Klal Yisrael. That's also, these are exaggerated things. But when things are within context, they're understandable, it's not a schus for Binyan Beis HaMikdash. But I'm suggesting the tzibur that this is not Sinas Chinam. This lav dafka is going to stop the building Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we should only have Abbas, we should have Abbas Yisrael B'Zad Hashem. We have to be Echo Kamoicha, and B'Zad Hashem B'Visholem, all groups, and they should have Yom Tovim Yisrael, that when all the groups will be respect each other and be nice to each other. Thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos.